Are you looking for something fun and impactful for your kids to participate in this summer? Maybe you will allow them to join us and our family for a week in North Carolina at The Refuge. This is in Aiden, North Carolina. For one entire week, we and our family and a bunch of teenagers.
And mayflies.
And mayflies who all love Jesus. We don't know if the mayflies love Jesus, but the kids certainly love Jesus. We're going to be teaching biblical worldview. This is a week intensive of equipping and training kids to defend the truth of what they believe and to be able to stand boldly in a culture that is hostile to that truth. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org, July 21st through the 26th. You have the opportunity to join us and our entire family for a week of culture proofing.
Yes, it's going to be fun. It's going to be intensive. It's going to be great. It's going to be some memories that they're going to be able to take back home with them. So sign your child up now. Thank you for listening to Culture Proof. I'm Will Addison, and I have a very special guest here today, Brother Isaac Topin. And he's with Courageous Parenting.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a ministry towards married couples. Is that right?
Yeah.
Families?
Yeah, families, parents. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Right. And how long have you guys been doing that ministry?
It's been 5.5 years, Courageous Parenting, and then more recently, Resolute Man. So we have two weekly shows coming out.
Okay. Yeah. So the difference between the two shows, the Resolute Man, so I guess that's for fathers, that's for men and boys or
yeah, you
whoever.
Know, you know, my wife and I are both on the Courageous Parenting Show
okay. Every
week, and the goal is that men and women are both coming on the show. But I would say, you know, there's a lot more women coming on that show, and I really felt like, wow, there's a travesty happening with men these days. Just really navigating the world we're living in,
the
demasculization of the world, hatred towards masculinity. And I wanted to really create something that has guests on the show, godly men doing interesting things that are encouraging godly masculinity. So we can embrace that in the right ways for the edification of our families and our communities.
Yeah, I just recently did a show called The Culture of Softness, where I addressed, you know, how this culture really has presented men in such a way that, you know, we are supposed to be soft, that the things that we talk about, the way we dress and things like that should be a little softer, you know, that masculinity is toxic and things like that. And man, you can see how the enemy desires for men to be that way, to be seen as weak or insignificant, you know. Even in the TV shows and things like that, you have the dad who's kind of like the bumbling idiot, you know, not really tuned into what's going on. What are some of the things you've seen in culture as far as men are concerned, and softness and things like that?
Yeah, well, I think it starts in the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam was pretty soft. You know, he was, you know, sitting there eating the forbidden fruit, watching as his family was, getting in destruction there. And then he blamed his wife for it. He blamed Eve for it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of despicable. And so I think that, you know, we have some passivity in us as men.
Yeah.
And culture has just perpetuated that with what you're talking about. Mm. Absolutely. And then what happens is men can be passionate about sports. They can be passionate about their careers, their ambition. Ambition can be fine as long as that's not sacrificing their most important mission.
That's right.
And back at home, they tend to get passive.
Yeah.
And that passivity sends in. And I even feel it, right?
Yeah,
so
me too.
I have to, in the moment, reject it so that I can embrace my God-given masculinity, which is in the home, is to lead spiritually.
Yeah.
And I think that's a foreign concept today because it's not been passed on from generation of men to generation of men, and the culture's going against it. So now how do we navigate this when it's a foreign thing?
Yeah, wow. Because it's definitely an issue that we as Christian men have to be aware, you know, of what's going on in our homes. Because a lot of times, you know, the focus on careers and things like that, or the work done outside of the home, can get the most attention. And sometimes, even on our jobs, you know, we want to climb the ladder and things like that. But at home, we don't see that as an opportunity, you know, for success there and for discipleship with the children that we have, you know, and that mindset, man, we have to not buy into the world's mindset of success. You know, what are some of the things that you cover on your podcast as far as pertaining to men? What's some of the topics?
I mean, all kinds of things. Y'all get to that. But I wanted to, on what you said, I wanted to share a story, you know, something I did in the past. And I've been an entrepreneur most of my life. And I used to have 32 physical office locations throughout two states.
Wow.
And lots of leaders and lots of younger adults working and so forth. And I felt like, wow, I'm having big impact. But then I heard a sermon. I can't even remember what I heard. Maybe I read a book or something. Could have been the Holy Spirit impacting me. But I came to the conclusion that what I'm doing with my family is going to have far more impact than what I'm doing out here in the business.
Yeah.
Actually, this is just a thing, and it's good. But when I get home, that's better.
Mm.
And when I made that pivot, and I'm glad I did in my younger years, because it's made a dramatic difference. And I can prove that, because you're with your children, you're discipling them, they're going to have children someday, they're going to have children someday.
Yes.
In fact, if someone has three kids, I often say it this way on the Courageous Parenting Podcast, if someone has three kids, are you really parenting three kids? No. Because are they going to have kids? They're likely to have kids.
Right.
And let's just say they all have three kids, just for math easy.
Yeah.
You go six generations deep, it's over 300 people, not counting spouses.
Wow.
So are you really parenting three kids? No. You're creating a multi-generational legacy, and the impact you have is transformative, because if that legacy is a Christian legacy, it's not just about those people and all those families that are in your family.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the impact for the gospel that happens through all of those people.
Wow. Man, that's awesome.
So you look at it a different way. And I think on the Man Podcast, we're talking about success. We're talking about family.
Yeah.
We're talking about a time when they rejected passivity and it made all the difference. And, you know, I had an NFL player on and he gave a powerful testimony of rejecting passivity. I think that what is starting to happen, and I'm encouraged about, is men are starting to become more transparent, willing to share. And I'm just blown away by the guests coming on that are sharing these transparent stories of rejecting passivity, almost to a point of weeping sometimes. And I think that kind of softness is good.
Mm-hmm.
When we're raw and real.
Yes,
transparency. The other kind of softness is not good.
Right.
When we're starting to, you know, not be men in a way of leading and initiating and encouraging our marriages, for example.
Yeah.
And being proactive in that relationship as the most important team versus putting more emphasis in your favorite sports team.
Right. Man, that's good, because there is a mindset. Now, I'm glad you said that. You know, there is a, what I guess would be perceived as softness. That's good. Transparency, being able to talk to another man and say, hey, man, I'm going through this. You know, this is something that's in my life I want, you know, God to help me with. Can we pray together? That's a strength to me. That's not weakness, you know, to be able to do that. But we know that the culture also tries to, like, feminize men and say, hey, you need to be a little softer. Don't, you know, be so direct. You know, you're you know, just doing things that's too harsh or whatever. But, man, that mindset of success, and I'm glad you brought that out, because our definition of success should be the definition that God has for us, not that the world wants to give us, you know. And I think if we can raise up godly families, that is being successful.
Amen.
You know, if we can say, man, I'm discipling my children, I'm loving my wife, you know, man, my family is intact, that's success, you know. And the world will try to push against that and say, well, no, you got to go get it. You got to go get this and do this and do that outside of the home. But true success lies in, I believe, in raising up successful families in the Lord.
Amen. You know? Amen, brother. I 100% agree with you. And for people listening, too, I want you not to believe that it's an or. It can be an and. I read this really good book, business book, and it talked about the genius of the and versus the tyranny of the or.
Mm.
Now, sometimes it is an or, right? One or the other.
Mm.
But sometimes you can have a great career, a lot of times actually, and thrive and be successful.
Yeah.
but not let it sacrifice what's most important.
That's good.
And it's in those moments of being bold and saying no to some people that might be necessary so you're not sacrificing your family. And we have to trust God, that God is going to take care of us when we're bold and courageous and we say no to something. Or we go, you know what? I'd be more successful financially if I did this direction, but now I'm traveling every single week.
Yeah.
We really have to question that. Now, that might be necessary for a season for somebody. I'm not saying that's bad, but you have to weigh everything. And if you're looking at your family, as you were saying, I agree with, as the most important place for success,
yeah,
then you're probably going to make better decisions. You're going to upgrade those decisions. And most importantly, let's be yielded to God.
Amen.
If we're reading our Bible and we're actually praying and inviting other men to pray with us in that transparency you're talking about, we're going to build a godly council around us. And so we're not going to be running the race alone. I think a lot of men are, they have friends, but they're not going deep talking about things.
Yeah.
And really, in a spiritual sense, they're alone in the desert.
Yeah.
And they're dying.
Yeah.
And their families are going to die because they're the leaders of their homes, whether they're leading or not.
Yeah.
And if there's a void of leadership, there's going to be repercussion.
Yeah.
And if you have all the money in the world, but your family's starving, there's a problem with that.
That's a problem.
In fact, you are not successful.
Mm-hmm.
You could have everything the world has to offer.
Yeah.
If your family's suffering, I'm going to just tell you, man, you are failing.
The Bible says that. If you're not taking care of your family, you know, you're worse than the infidel.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, definitely. I agree with that. So Mariah, why the Culture Proof Teens Track?
Because it's important for us as teenagers to have robust teaching as well. It's important for us to have teaching that's going to help equip us in our faith and teaching that's going to help us to withstand the enemy's attacks in our culture.
Yeah, so you've been a part of the Teens Track in our other conferences for a few years. What can someone expect if they come to be a part of the Teens Track?
You can expect sound teaching, and you can expect tough questions to be answered, and for it to be a safe place where you can ask those questions and get answers and then get further conversation if you need more explanation. If you're really struggling with a topic, you can get in-depth conversation, and it's just a really nice place to be able to have conversations with some of the group leaders, and everyone is really nice and caring, and it's like you have a mini family within the classroom. So I highly recommend it.
What's your favorite aspect of the conference?
I really like fellowshipping. I'm a social butterfly. I like being around people, and so I really like being among people in my peer group and being challenged in different ways and hearing different people's worldview and opinions and having open conversation where we're not afraid to say different things. We're all pretty bold, and so everyone has their thoughts and opinions, and everyone's going to speak their mind and say what they have to say. And it's really nice to hear that challenged or agreed with, and to hear the feedback from others saying that they've learned a lot and that they're encouraged by being around other strong Christians. It's just really nice.
So, hate to put you on the spot, but do you happen to have a favorite teacher or?
Miss Amy Warren, for sure. Like, she's the best. She like flocks us all together, and some of us can get pretty rowdy, and she's always keeping us together and getting our attention because, you know, we do get distracted. Mm-hmm. And so she's just great. It's so fun. Second mom, love her.
All right, the Culture Proof Conference happening at Faith Baptist Church, July 18th through the 20th. Go to cultureproof.net to get more detail. Speaking on transparency of men, and there may be some men listening that feel like, I don't even know how to do that. Like, you know, because it's hard for men sometimes to find another man to say, hey, man, I want to have an accountability partner. Or I just want to be able to talk to someone. How do you even get started with that? Finding someone that you can talk to, another man, and practicing like transparency. Like, how would you even go about doing that?
Well, let's talk about business for a second, and then we'll talk about that.
Okay.
And there's this old quote in business that you have to risk being a fool.
That's
right?
Yeah.
I don't know who said it, but we're willing to do that in the business world. We're willing to risk for reward, and sometimes that reward isn't there, and sometimes it is. Yeah. But risking is part of that game.
Yeah.
But why are we not being willing to risk looking a fool when we're going to church and there's an older man that you admire, that has a godly legacy you want, but you're too scared to ask him?
That's a good point.
Why would you not be? Because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of being transparent. Maybe we're afraid of even looking inferior to that other man because there's that competitive spirit. I think we need to lower the competitive. Yeah, for basketball, football stuff, be competitive. But when it comes to relationships, I think we need to lower the competitive bar down and not be competitive. Instead, seek true relationship and mentorship. And, you know, I praise God for this, but I remember a moment where I did this, and I was a young married guy. I think we just had our first two kids. I was a new believer as of 4 years prior, 1 year prior to getting married. I was a new believer at 23.
Wow.
And so all of this was new to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't grow up with a Christian father and these kinds of things. And so I had to learn all this.
Wow.
And I saw this one older guy, gray hair, and I'm like, I need to ask him. And I asked him, hey, would you mentor me? And he goes, absolutely. I've been praying about that. I've been hoping you would ask me.
Wow.
But I was never going to let you know
that
I was interested in doing that. I was waiting for you to ask.
Wow.
Because the younger man should always do the asking. Because then they're going to own it. They're going to be seeking, and that's important.
That's good.
And I'm so glad. We are still connected today, but we met regularly for 12 years.
Wow.
And it was transformative. I think that we need more of that happening.
Amen.
And to encompass all that, you got to be part of a Bible-believing church.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
If you're not part of a Bible-believing, I'm not saying, hey, if you're saying, hey, should we go this week? You got it wrong.
Right.
It's like, no, be part of the church.
Yeah, totally invested, you know, and I agree. The local church is very, very important. And a lot of times we as men feel like we can be islands. You can't.
No.
Not and live this life out, you know, the way it should be lived, you know. So you have 9 children, right?
Yeah.
So how has your role as dad, I guess, changed over time? Like, I'm sure you've learned a lot from the first one down to the one, the youngest. Like, what's some changes that you've experienced as a dad?
I think the more kids you have, the less selfish you are. But you never completely lose it because we all have that sin nature.
Yes.
And I remember, I'll tell you a story. I remember, I think maybe when the second or third kid came along, it just got so hard to buckle everybody in the car. I just wasn't used to it. And I remember it just taking a while and being frustrated about that. And that was selfish.
Yeah.
You know, now I have 9 kids. I mean, I'm still, you know, I have a 2-year-old at home and I'm 48. So it's a wild ride, but it's a good ride.
Yeah.
And we don't come from big families or anything like that, but it's been a beautiful thing, learning process. And I would say that it's been a refining process.
Yeah.
And of course, as you mature and get older, you learn, you get beat up, your pride gets beat down, which is good. And then that selfishness disappears a little bit. But, you know, it creeps up definitely for sure still.
Yeah, my dad used to always tell me, hey, when you get married, you'll see how selfish you are. Then he said, but when you have children, you'll really see how selfish you are. You know, it'll come out even more. You know, so with a wide range of children, and we have 6. So we have a big 3, then we have the little 3. How do you maintain the discipleship efforts all the way down? Because there's some things where, like, man, the little ones have to get this too. We were very diligent with the older ones. We can't drop the ball. Have you experienced that? Like, man, you know, we have to, because you're going to be at it for a while. You know, so what are some of those struggles or some of the ways that you have persisted in discipling your children all the way to the youngest?
I'm so glad you asked that question. It's an essential question. The Bible says we are the leaders of our family. That means a servant leader, be like Jesus, love your wives, love your families. It doesn't mean you're, you know, a boss in a negative sense at all. But discipleship is a key part of that. You know, I'm so thankful that for my wife being diligent in that area. So I'm gone. She's with them more than I am. But well, 2 things I said she can always spend as much money as she wants on, within reason, of course, is quality food and books.
Yeah.
Books that edify the family. So we have so many books, and she reads books to the kids and so forth. Now, my role, I start the day with the family, and I bring the Bible, and we open it up at breakfast, and I read, and we discuss.
Mm.
And everybody, all ages, are there. I also talk a little bit about some of the dynamics happening in the world and things like that in a kid-friendly way. And sometimes that ties into the scripture we're talking about, which
awesome.
Is really amazing. So we're I love what you do, culture proof. That's exactly what I do in the mornings with my family.
Amen.
Is I'm making them culture proof, and I'm helping them understand how, what's a biblical worldview on all these different things happening and hot button issues in the world. In addition, not every day, but often I will read the kids, the little kids books, Christian books in the evening, of course, pray over them and so forth.
Yeah.
And I think that if I have a touch point in the beginning of the day, touch point at the end of the day, and then those individual conversations when they're needed about spiritual things.
And that's awesome.
That's kind of how my role has
That's good. Let me talk about that for a minute, like roles. So my wife is very, she's a teacher, you know, so she's naturally gifted in breaking down information and things like that. That's not me necessarily. My role is more like kind of, I lead our catechism, our, you know, with the little three before putting them to bed. We have scripture memorization and we pray and things like that. Your role as dad, like you gave me a glimpse into it, you know, what you do in the morning and stuff like that. As far as the teaching and throughout the day and stuff like that, like how have you guys divvied out the roles? Like, you know, what's your role? What's her role and how does it work together? And has there ever been like any issues in the roles? Like, you know, that you wanted maybe to do something that she was more gifted in doing? I don't know. Just that dynamic.
Well, women are amazing, aren't they?
They are.
And when you're married, you know your wife is incredible. And my wife's incredible. Sounds like your wife's incredible.
Yes.
And my wife also is a very gifted teacher and she speaks faster. I don't know if that's a female phenomenon.
I don't know, man. I think so.
So she's so good with her words, so quick.
Yeah.
And also, it is proven that women have more words to get out every single day than men. So I think in the younger years, there was less room for me to talk, meaning I would, of course.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She, you know, naturally had a lot to say. And I think as she's gotten older, she has matured even more in understanding how to sometimes not say as much so that I have room to come out and say things. Of course,
that's
I can. I also think that in biblical gender roles, every family has an expression of that that's a little different based on the work and the different things like that.
Yeah.
But we've really embraced that. She's been a stay-at-home mom the whole time, but she's always been involved a little bit. She's either wrote her book or had a blog or some outlet to impact through it. And I think that for how she is, that's been really helpful to her.
Okay.
But then I've been out there providing and so forth. But now we're doing ministry together. But still, she is dedicated mom and staying home. But I'll pull her out to do a podcast episode.
Yeah.
I'll pull her out to, hey, let's do this promotion or this live or things like that. But I would say we're trying to keep her hours lower, much lower, and minimized, and then I'm working full time, even though we're doing ministry together, because at the end of the day, what's most important, she will not sacrifice the family. Now, those dynamics are not easy. We're both home all the time, right? And sometimes there can be challenges and conversations, but I think that when those marriage conversations come up where there's challenges maybe with the, how the roles are going and so forth, we just got to talk about it.
Yeah, that's so key, the communication, you know. And so you work full-time outside of the ministry that you guys do. You have, like, is that right?
No, I'm full-time
with the
Courageous Ministry.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I feel like we're so similar in so many different ways. It's amazing. On your podcast, on your show, does she do a lot of talking? And man, look.
I would say, you know, on the Courageous Parenting, she's probably 60%, I'm 40%.
That's exactly how it is on Culture Proof.
Well, you know, there's also more women listening, so I think it's okay.
That's true.
But, you know, I've got my outlet on Resolute Man, too. But, you know, but she's definitely gracious. And, I go, some topics like this one's about to come out on grief. You know, her father just passed away, and so it's really raw and real, and God's been speaking to her, so on that one, she's speaking even more, but it's appropriate.
Yes.
And there's some episodes where I actually speak more because, like, what do we see happening in the world this year?
Yes.
You know, we do some unique episodes sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm speaking a little more on that one than she is.
Yeah.
So it does depend on the topic, too.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, my thing has been the gifting, gifted to speak and to do different things and to communicate, you know. I'm I've always been a behind the scenes type person. Like if you had a video here, you'll see the setup. I set all this stuff up. When we did radio, I was behind the scenes, even though I was part of the show, you know. But a lot of times those type of things don't get seen, you know, but they're very important. And the same way as in the church. There's different roles. The Bible talks about that. There's some parts of the body that's not seen, but they're very vital. Without them, you couldn't do anything, you know. And so I think it's all a matter of knowing what God has called you to do and really leaning in towards that, you know, because the enemy always tried to get us with discontentment. You know, I wish I was like this person. I wish I was like that person.
We got to stay away from that comparison game to. Because you know what? God sees you.
Yes.
God sees what you're doing. He sees your value.
Amen.
And if we're not, I think that when we start moving away from reading the word and we start, our prayer life dissipates, we start wanting things that we shouldn't want, like some other person's path that God has
right.
them on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
being discontent with our path.
Yeah.
Well, we can always improve the path we're on. And I think progress is built in us. We're
Amen.
Built to make progress.
Amen.
But I think real success is when we embrace who we are, who God made us, and the path we're on, and give our absolute best. That's what we teach our kids, right?
Mm.
You
yes.
know, if we're faithful with the small, right?
Yes.
They'll trust us with more.
That's right. That's
and
right.
so I think men listening in, we need to, or women too, we need to embrace our season,
yes.
and we need to embrace where God has us, because if we're always looking to the next season,
mm-hmm.
we're going to fail at this season, and we won't even get the next season.
Oh, man. That's right. That's right.
I mean, that's wisdom from my wife, actually. I'm kind of quoting her right
that's,
there.
That's right. You know, and even Apostle Paul, he said to compare yourselves amongst yourselves is not wise. You know, those things only bring about just division and things like that and discontentment, you know, and the Lord has made us in the way that He desires for us to function. And I think leaning into that would be such a great thing instead of always looking and saying, I don't have this, I don't have that. Man, thank you so much. And how can people, if they want to find the podcast and find out your website or whatever, where would they go?
BeCourageousMinistry.org is where everything is. And then ResoluteMan.com for the man show.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with me, Brother Isaac. I appreciate it. And I'm hoping to talk to you more.
I look forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Even beyond the podcast and stuff like that. I want to exchange
information. We have so much in common. And maybe, you know, we need to get into the church stuff next time. Because I think our conversation
yes.
before, and
oh,
we
yeah.
got to get that into an episode down
Definitely.
The road.
Definitely.
So
Definitely.
I look forward to that, Will. Let's and I love what you're doing with Culture Proof.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much for listening. You know, we want to resist those cultural trends that rival the truth so we can remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing, God bless.